I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily in association with Betway. My name is Marcus Speller.
And my name is Jim Campbell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Oh, look at that. A cough already. How are we, chaps? You're still holding out okay in your homes?
Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Foot Podcast is holding up very well.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Before we go any further, ladies and gentlemen, Luke, you've got an important announcement.
I do, and we realise that this is a difficult and uncertain time for all, and the first and foremost, our thoughts are with everyone directly or indirectly affected by this virus. We wish you all a full and speedy recovery, and of course, we want you to and your families to be well. That's the most important thing. But if you're fortunate enough to not be affected or have your work affected by the measures being taken around the world, then please consider supporting our podcasts by donating to our Patreon. It's a difficult advertiser market out there at the moment, and we're going to need all the help we can get to keep going. You can support us from as little as $1 a month, and from $5 a month and above, there are loads of great benefits, extra shows, access to exclusive material, and loads more besides, which will continue. Please consider donating if you can. We've been doing this since April 2007, would you believe? But the mood music in the advertising world is the worst we've ever seen it. And if we are to keep this proud old institution going, we might need to think outside the box a bit. So please support us. It's patreon.com/footballrambledaily. That's patreon.com/footballrambledaily. And many thanks to those of you that have already become patrons. It really is much appreciated. And you're going to be absolutely key for us over the coming months. So again, on behalf of the entire Football Ramble Daily team, our deepest thanks and appreciation for your support. The URL to remember and go and visit is patreon.com/footballrambledaily. So whether you pause now and go and take a look, or you do it after you've listened to today's episode, please do it. And thank you very much.
We love you guys. We love you all. Right, shall we let's delve into what's been going on this week in the football news. Many of you will have seen that Euro 2020, of course, has been postponed. I mean, that came as no surprise. The tournament will take place from the 11th of June to the 11th of July 2021. There were no objections, of course, and there's no plans to change the 12 host cities. There will still be 7 matches played at Wembley So it was no surprise, really, the Euros being postponed, gentlemen. It was the obvious thing to do. And without being a bit fickle, I mean, I suppose from certain players' point of views, and I know you talked a bit about this on the Continent, from an England point of view, the likes of Harry Kane and Marcus Rashford will probably be, well, not quite pleased, because no one's pleased about what's going on, but certain players will be back in contention, you'd imagine.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, obviously, you know, it's a time of huge upheaval, but really, what is the difference between winning Euro 2020 and winning Euro 21?
Exactly.
True. We'll take a victory either way.
Exactly. we'll go and get one.
Jim, what is it about being confined to your house that's made you so punchy?
I'm just quite the big man when there's no one around. You'd see me strutting around, cock of the walk. No one in my bedroom's going to step up.
Yeah. I feel like on this decision, of course, we talked about it yesterday on the Continent. Andy Gate was very eloquent, as usual, about what it means. There is an element, isn't there, Marcus, as you've alluded to, about it's going to be very, very bad news for... Let's just take the football for a moment, because that's what we're here to talk about. It's very, very bad news for some players. Andy identified Dimitri Payet and Olivier Giroud as examples, because it might come too late for them now. But for some younger players, and for some players who would have missed the tournament probably through injury, it's obviously good news. And there's really no alternative than to move it for a couple of reasons as well. One is because clearly the domestic season's need to be finished, if at all possible. And also because some of the teams haven't actually qualified for the tournament yet, have they? So they're planning on making those happen, doing the playoffs for the qualification at the moment as it stands in June. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what UEFA said, although I would have thought that might be postponed as well. I mean, the playoffs include Scotland, Ireland and Northern Ireland, among other teams, of course. But yeah, they said that, as UEFA said, that's subject to review of the situation. So, yeah, we don't even know all the teams that are going to be at the tournament, of course. So that needs to be finalised as well.
Mm. Also, I was going to say that obviously there's the FIFA's club tournament as well. It was slated to appear then, so we don't know what happens with that. But hopefully it will be smashed to bits forever and we will never have a proper Club World Cup.
Very much on the back burner. They're very much the kind of extra jar of olives that you quite like to have when you're shopping around the supermarket of football issues at this point.
I say open the lid on the back burner. Just pop it in.
Yeah.
Just chuck it in the burner.
Do you know what I find funny about the FIFA Club World Cup is that no one has mentioned it in terms of, well, when's that going to take place? We've got the Euros are postponed. The Women's Euros will be probably summer of 2022, because obviously the Men's World Cup won't be around that time because we're having it in Qatar. Yes, that's happening still. And we've had the Nations League. They said that the semis and the final, which was due to be played on the 2nd to the 6th of June 2021, will be moved. Nobody has mentioned the Club World Cup. And you can imagine, I understand that that's a FIFA tournament and this was a meeting with UEFA, but I've not heard people on Twitter talking. I mean, you imagine someone said, but what about the FIFA Club World Cup? You think, not now, Gianni.
But the thing is, though, you guys, we're being quite smug about that now. Give it another week, we'll be desperate.
I'd love a FIFA Club World Cup right now, to be honest.
Yeah. Actually, when there was something that we laughed about in our own WhatsApp group, which is when the announcement was made that the tournament was going to be moved, one of the first replies was somebody saying, what's going to happen to the Confederations Cup? That immediately sprung to mind.
Oh, yeah, the Confed.
Can I just say, like, which is completely protocol, I think, for everyone, I go through phases with the Confederations Cup, and there's two of them, roughly, and I'll talk you through them. One is... I have absolutely no thoughts at all on the fact that it even exists. Mm-hmm. That's point number one. And thought process number two is, oh, it's happening right now.
Yeah.
There's no plan. I don't think about it at all at any point.
Yeah.
Probably because England are in it.
It's at best a sort of fun friendly, isn't it, in the summer?
Yeah. I remember the one that in South Africa, ahead of the South Africa World Cup. And I remember, I think Spain won it. Did Spain win it? And I didn't. The US beat Spain.
That's right.
Yeah, but I think maybe Brazil beat them in the final. I can't remember. But I remember that tournament happening. Whereas other than that, I can't remember any of them at all. Do you know who the current Confed champions are?
Oh, In 2009, Mark, I just checked, Brazil beats the US in the final.
That's right. And the US beat Spain on the way to the final, didn't they?
Yeah, which is quite incredible. Yeah. The current champions are Germany. They beat Chile 1-0 in the final last time round. In 1999, Mexico won the Confed Cup, which is quite something. And in 1995, Denmark won it. In 92, Argentina beat Saudi Arabia in the final.
How far back are we going with this, Marcus?
1992 was the first one, Jim.
reading the results of the Confederations Cup.
Oh, God. That's...
Right, cheers, Marcus. That's our Christmas content fucking done.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just apologise for what happened there? Because genuinely, I went into a trance, and as Luke rightly said, I started reading the results of the Confederations Cup from the 1990s on the Football Ramble podcast. Now, I never thought... We often sort of say, I think that's the worst thing we've ever done. I think that is a huge contender, my giddy aunt. Oh, dear. Sorry.
The worst thing we've ever done, and also the best thing we've ever done, was last Easter when we did 12 episodes of a podcast just about bald people in football.
Yeah. That was all to just climax in an episode about Sven, though.
Yeah, I think we carried it off. I think we did all right.
Yeah. I miss those days, to be honest. Yeah. Anyway, who was here who won the Confed Cup in 2003? Oh, dearie me. Well... back to domestic football. I mean, not that there is any, of course, but the FA have announced that the football in this country is postponed until at least the 30th of April. And again, you would have thought it would be pushed back, hence at least the 30th of April. I mean, the FA's rules and regulations state that the season needs to be finished by the 1st of June, but the board have agreed to extend the 2019-2020 season indefinitely, which is... what a lot of clubs, especially Liverpool and Leeds, wanted to hear.
This is great, isn't it? Because we were talking on the show earlier about. I think a lot of people are quite angry with us for talking about the idea of the season being made null and void. But we did state very clearly at the top that is, you know, in a scenario where the season for whatever reason was deemed not to be able to be finished. I think everybody.
Jim, let's just get it absolutely right. We've been absolutely battered.
We have been absolutely battered.
I've avoided the Reddit.
People ignored our caveat.
That's what annoys me about it.
I love that people would be angry that we're giving that opinion. We're not the decision makers. Do you know what I mean? We're scratching around like everybody else, and we're saying that, do you know what? If we can't finish this season in the summer, we're thinking then it might have to be null and void. But that's obviously an awful situation.
Yeah, all the things he said is, if the season can't be finished, you can't give a trophy to a team that hasn't won it yet.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not that controversial.
But anyway, this is good, isn't it, that they've obviously moved that rule. And I think 30th of April is a deadline for now, but they need to do it in stages. I'm sure that will be, you know, that will be moved as and when appropriate.
Here's one for you guys. It's something that came out of Italy, and we talked about it yesterday, Andy and I. The idea that, I can't remember his name now, it might be Gabriele Gavani, the guy who's head of the Italian FA or the football or Serie A or something. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he was saying that what could happen is you could essentially complete the current season throughout next season. So almost you have like 2 years to complete a single season. You give players a time to get up to match fitness. You have enough time between games. You're not trying to squeeze it all in, because there's probably going to be some kind of ersatz pre-season anyway. Mm. And you extend it through, and then you get a bit of a break again. And people aren't knackered and completely half injured for the Euros. I think that sounds like a really good idea, chiefly because I thought this before this coronavirus thing happened. We've definitely got to the stage where, for me, there's just too much football anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you and Andy touched on this on the continent yesterday, and I agree. Like, if the slightest thing throws, I mean, obviously this is not the slightest thing, but even in the case where if anything had to be cancelled, the calendars are so stuffed with football, especially as, you know, we were just talking about a Club World Cup. There are new tournaments being sort of rolled into play at all times. It's just not sustainable, is it? And it's less enjoyable. It sort of matters less if it's just constantly happening everywhere. I think the potential permutations of what happens next season, if indeed, you know, we get a handle on this and we can continue in some form for next season as well, I'm intrigued as to see what will happen, because if we do have some sort of truncated season where perhaps the cup competitions have to be rested, or I don't know, there is a shorter season and that's figured out in whatever way is deemed fairest, it would almost be a little bit like the South American leagues with the Apertura and the Clausura, as a lot of them have, where they have two seasons in a season, effectively. And because, you know, South American football is like this beautiful other dimension where everything's the same, but it's also completely different. Yeah. I'd be really intrigued as to see what you know, a version of that would be like in Europe.
So everything's exactly the same, with the exception that whatever happens, River Plate cannot be relegated.
No, no.
Well, of course, they did manage it, though, which was absolutely remarkable. I mean, the setup in South America is obviously, as you say, Jim, different. I mean, the only thing is that you do this kind of, If it goes on and on and on, this thing, then you could finish the season, even if it takes. I mean, John Barnes said that he said it's not possible to give Liverpool the title as the season hasn't finished. I think, you know, we're certainly in agreement. And then he went on to say that the season needs to finish, though, even if it doesn't finish until December, which means potentially writing off next season. And I thought, well, OK, John, so you're saying you can't give Liverpool the title because the season hasn't finished. So that seems rational. But we will move heaven and hell to make sure Liverpool do win the league. And if that means getting rid of everything in the foreseeable future, then we need to do that. And you thought, well, yeah. So if indeed, you know, we're not playing football, or they're not playing football, should I say, I'm not going to kick a ball. I'm going to kick a toilet roll, though. But if the season doesn't finish until, say, December, like John Barnes says, you know, it's not until maybe September that they take to the field again, then your suggestion, Jim, about having this kind of half season, then you could do a half season.
I disagree with you on that, Jim, because I think if you're going to get to the stage where it becomes rapidly clear that if we complete this season, it doesn't complete till December, then you're just, in my view, you're in a bit of a shit state for the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to clarify, I'm not saying that I have a particular passion for one solution over another.
No, you are, Jim. You're being fucking out of order.
You are being out of order, Jim.
Well, I'm gonna deck you, mate. quite you say that to my face.
Man. You're quite the big man when you're on your own, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I am.
Anyway, anyone want an update on a Confed Cup?
Sorry, Luke, what were you saying?
I was just going to say that you might as well extend it. If you're going to do it that way, you might as well extend it across both years, and then you give people a rest. There's a bit, because one of the things that I think has been lost, and I understand it's not the main concern in these difficult times, but if you cast your mind back to before this all happened, I think we might have even mentioned it on a Ramble episode or two. What we had lost, and Jim, you kind of alluded to this a second or two ago, which was about, there's no breathing room in the schedule. And of course, we saw that with Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool and their need to go and play a tournament overseas while at the same time having a League Cup commitment. What we're losing is this anticipation between games, this build-up to games. I didn't feel, as someone who, you know, at least tangentially works in the sport and in broadcasting, that there was enough time to build up between games that you would really look forward to, and then do those games justice by previewing them, by looking at them, by watching them, by enjoying them, by processing them, because you were just moving on to the next thing as quick as possible. Yeah. I mean, it felt to me there's been football matches happening every single night just in this country. So I wouldn't be, I know it's all about money, and I know that the world moves on, and I don't want to be that old man that yells at the cloud, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if we have a little bit of a breather between games and start to give ourselves a bit more space to properly enjoy the game again.
I think part of the problem with that, though, was that when there was a bit less football around, the amount of hype and previewing and build up, largely because, well, exclusively because of Sky Sports, really, just became ridiculous, didn't it? So I think this is part of the machine that is football, is to just keep producing content and keep producing hype, keep people you know, invested, like, and glued to it. Very much so.
Oh, can keep us in a job, Jim. Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There certainly seems to be a collective will among all the clubs and everybody to finish this season. That's what FA chief exec Mark Bullingham said. And, you know, that's what everybody wants to do. And
I don't think there's a football fan, even if your team is about to be relegated or something. I think there is a bit of fair play going on here. That I don't think anybody wants the season null and void.
No.
But as you say, if it goes on and on and on this, it's going to become very, very tricky. But all 24 championship clubs have reached an agreement to try and finish this season. And if the season isn't finished, there's a worry that legal challenges could be mounted by clubs who are denied promotion and therefore an increase in revenue and so on and so forth. But of course, the championship can decide that, but everybody needs to move. It's certainly by country, yeah. You would have thought by continent, but certainly by country, everybody needs to move in the same direction. And make the same decisions, because you can't have, you know, it'd be a sickener for the championship to say, right, well, we're all going to carry on, and the Premier League go, actually, no, we're not. I can't imagine that happening, by the way.
But the big concern for me on that isn't even, I do take the point, and that is important, but to me, the big concern, and I'm interested in your guys' thoughts on this, is that I don't know how likely it is that all the Football League clubs, not just the championship clubs, but the 72 Football League clubs, will all be available to complete their fixtures. Now, of course, we lost Bury already. Can complete their fixtures. If there's a 3-4-5 month break where they're getting no match day revenue, there's going to be some kind of emergency financial package that needs to be developed somehow to keep these teams afloat. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to fulfill their fixtures anyway. And I've not seen anything of real. I know it's early days, but I've not seen anything concrete coming out of anywhere in football to say how they're going to sort that out.
Yeah, well, it'd be really useful if there was some huge organisation that had some sort of surplus of cash, but I just can't think of where that would be.
By the way, I checked after Monday show and it's 2.3 billion, not 4 billion, so you've been out of order there.
Oh, sorry.
I'll tell you, it's coming. there's been a handful of FIFA execs who've had a lovely old last few years then, haven't there? But FA, the Mark Bullingham of the FA, he did say that they were in talks with the government over financial difficulties that some clubs are facing due to the ongoing situation. But again, it's all very up in the air at the moment. And I'm sure there's a lot of people going to their respective governments at the minute with concerns, to say the least, because this affects everybody. But you're right, Luke. Yeah. It is extremely worrying. And it'll be awful. Hopefully it won't happen, but it will be awful if certain clubs just go, right, we can't carry on anymore. We hear horrible stories about lots of staff being laid off and players being asked to take wage cuts and so on and so forth. Now, I know people say, well, players get a lot of money, but not at every level they don't. And it just shows you.
Yeah. And it happened at Barnet almost instantly, didn't it, Marcus? Just straight away.
Yeah. Exactly. You're absolutely right. So the situation is very desperate. It really is. All right, chaps. Well, let's have a quick break, and after which we'll do some emails. See you all in a moment.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Right, everybody, it's time for emails.
Email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
Yes, indeed, it is time for emails. We're going to do an email each this week, just to make it a little bit more interesting. But before I do mine, just a quick reminder.
Dig. Who's the big man now? Who's the big man hiding behind his microphone now?
The worst thing about that was it was totally unintentional. Sorry, that's really, really rude of me, isn't it? You're a fucking prick. Not to make them more interesting, you know what I mean. We're just going to break up a bit. Jim, if you won't up your game, this is going to happen. I told you.
Jim wasn't anyway, tattering on.
Before I do that, I just wanted to remind people of the Patreon. It's super important if you wouldn't mind going over there and checking it out. patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Help us keep the lights on, help us keep going in this difficult advertising market and all that good stuff. We really do appreciate it. Anyway, on Monday's show, I believe it was, and Marcus, who is the super memory, will tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe on Monday, the old trebuchet gate reared its ugly.
It did.
And I mentioned trebuchets and the medieval weaponry thing that went on. And we got an email off the back of that. And I'm just going to read it as it's written. Dear Ramblers, while listening to the last ramble, I felt a warm glow of nostalgia as Luke discussed the medieval weaponry saga of 2016. However, this quickly turned into a furnace rage when he recounted an anecdote about the two medieval chaps continuing the debate at a live show in Birmingham. For you see, dear Ramblers, I have never been to Birmingham. Yes, it is I, Lord Trebuchet, official and uncontested Ramble historian. Like a master artillerist with a well-aimed missile from my siege piece, I obliterated the last challenger back in 2016, only to now find that an imposter has taken on the unearned mantle of Ramble medieval weaponry expert. Well, by God, this shall not stand.
Here we go.
The level has been raised and my forces are marshalled. Will this imposter dare come forward and admit their duplicity, abase themselves before the Ramble community and beg forgiveness for their sins? I await your reply, Joe Hall, official and uncontested Ramble historian.
My goodness.
I mean, this is seismic news.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Jim, are you the big man still now? Because I want to hide behind you if you are.
Yeah, you guys are all welcome in my fort if it comes to it. Yeah, Although, to be fair, my fort is just a drying rack.
I ain't going to hold up against the medieval trebuchet.
To be fair, it is inside a flat. So... I don't know. I'm still not confident. We'll see. I mean, this, hopefully we won't get caught up in the middle of this, but it's shots fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marcus, what do you think?
Speaking of siege pieces, Pete's back on Monday, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
I think this is the kind of content we desperately need.
What I want to know is, have I misremembered that exchange in the foyer of the venue at Birmingham in 2016?
I think that one of the guys was there. I don't think the debate actually, there was one of the historian chaps was there, and he left. And I think his friend got talking to us and said, "Oh, my mate was the trebuchet, or one of the trebuchet guys. I'll go and get." And I went, "Oh yeah, get him back." And he came back, and we just chatted. So I don't think there was.
Yeah, he came back and he was giving it the big licks. And Joe Hall is saying, "Look, I vanquished this guy before. Why is he giving the big licks to you guys in person when he knows for a fact that I am the official and uncontested Ramble historian, Lord Trebuchet?"
I mean, it sounds like Joe Hall is rather full of his own pomp there, so I can't remember.
Oh, that's big shout to you, that.
No, well,
I want to
listen to what he calls himself. It's not a ridiculous suggestion, what I've just said.
Well, it's you he's going to be aiming the catapult at now, mate.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right, and also, it's a bit rich from the man who, off the record, Marcus, calls himself the podcast Messi.
King of Surrey.
I don't even live in Surrey, and I haven't done for years, Jim. I think we need to hear from the other guy. Because he was
we
the
do,
one.
Yeah. I mean, this is, yeah.
I can't remember his name. He knows who he is.
He's got his right of reply now, isn't he?
He's probably got bored of listening, so we might not hear from him again.
Yeah, well, if you know him, dig him out. So I've got an email here. Obviously, I made a plea for you guys to get in touch on the show on Monday, and you did in your droves, and it's hugely appreciated. Please keep them coming. A lot of them have been very, very creative. Obviously, we can't get around to reading all of them. Some of them have been very, very touching as well. Obviously, we get a lot, so we endeavour to as best where we can, but we can't reply to all of them, but do know they are received and hugely, hugely appreciated. So as I say, I asked for some creativity, and I've got some here. Dearest Ramblinos, for some time now, I've been bewitched by Lacazette. And I don't mean by the man himself, though that would be no surprise, but simply by his name, because what a name, Lacazette. It's a name that would honour a rare and slender pistol, or a top secret racing yacht, or an illegal dance. I spent a good few weeks rolling this name around in my mouth before I finally figured out why. I think it connotes such things, and in discovering the roots of its power, I fear I may have landed upon yet another football-themed parlour game with which to while away the hours of isolation. You see, when my brain reads Lacazette, it also reads Lucozade and Gillette. And of course, the man is an energy drink with a cutting edge, a scythe dipped in adrenaline, a razor and a racing heart all in one. With this revelation in mind, I wondered if there were any other footballers whose names conjure up combinations of common brands that in some way also symbolise their personality or playing style. Elsewhere in the Arsenal squad, we find Martinelli, who is obviously nothing less than the intoxicating sophistication of Martini Vermouth, served in a race-winning Pirelli tyre. Meanwhile,
very good.
At Newcastle, Saint-Maximin is perhaps a rare three-way combo of the timeless French style of Yves Saint Laurent, the hotbod energy of Maxim magazine, and the placement capabilities of a GPS-enabled Garmin fitness tracker. At a stretch, the third one's at a stretch, is it, mate? At a stretch, in Manchester United's Lindelof, do we not find both the reliability of Lindt chocolate, both he and the Swiss manufacturer are best known for their bulwark, and the Scandinavian surround sound, he can play centre and right back, can't he, of Bang & Olufsen speakers. Can your listeners think of any other footballers who seem subject to this peculiar nominative determinism, one played out via marketing budgets? Eternally yours, Billy in Amsterdam, who begged me not to use his real name. So a lot to unpack. I mean, the fact he's in Amsterdam might explain the somewhat off-piste nature of this email. But
I'll come back straight away and say that. Well, the other, that was a brilliant email, and I'm sure plenty of people will have their own suggestions, and so they should. Yeah. But I couldn't get out of my mind when he started that, just Sean Gregan,
okay,
who has the name of someone who absolutely sounds like a sometime centre-back, sometime bread-and-butter midfield player who played for Preston, Darlington and Oldham Athletic. Sean Gregan.
Yeah, a bit of that. It's not quite the same, but I always thought Victor Wanyama sounded like a man who was encouraging a Scottish mother. Like, Wanyama!
There's a book called, I think it's called Freakonomics.
Yes.
And loads of people would have read it. Mm. And there's a bit in there about nominative determinism where I think it has been proven that people do tend to, they're more likely to become what they've been named.
Yes, Max Powell.
Which is kind of weird.
Definitely. And weirdly, which also seems to fly in the face, the opposite can also be true. It tends to be one extreme or the other, doesn't it? Wasn't there a guy who named his kids Winner and Loser? And, you know, Winner didn't do very well and Loser did. It's in the book.
Oh, my.
That's just outrageous.
That's like, surely social services were called. You can't do that.
Yeah. Can you do that though? I mean, can social services get involved in a name? It's like, yeah, it's a family thing.
Well, I've got an email here from Aidan who says, "Hi chaps. On Monday's show, you spent some time focusing on how the league will shape up and when we can finish it. But what about the FA Cup? I think the answer is simple and obvious. Inspired by the greatest European cup/plaque competition in history, we should mimic the Intertoto Cup. The premise is simple.
Oh, God.
If it's not the Confed Cup, it's the Intertoto Cup.
Yeah.
The premise is simple. Between 2006 and 2008, inclusive, the Intertoto Cup was a means of clubs to qualify for the UEFA Cup. Well, that was actually not just in those few seasons. But in between 2006 and 2008, it was a very, very strange way of awarding the winners of that trophy. So of the 11 teams that qualified, the team that went furthest in the UEFA Cup won the prestigious Intertoto Cup/plaque. Which was, I totally forgot that.
You seen a picture of the plaque? It's embarrassing.
Well, he included
hilarious.
He included a picture of Scott Parker looking very chuffed as a Newcastle United player.
Do you want to describe the plaque for us, Marcus?
Basic. That's what it is.
It looks like it was done on Microsoft Word in about 1998.
It looks like, yeah, that little paperclip offered help, and whoever designed it had taken that paperclip's help.
Exactly. Yeah. It looks like something you'd hand to the third place team at the Confed Cup.
Marcus, are you saying that Intertoto wasn't actually won in quotes in like a traditional way then?
Well, I think it was previously, although I think there was a few winners. It was a very strange tournament. But as Aidan's saying, and quite rightly so, between 2006 and 2008, the 11 teams that kind of went through the qualifying in the summer got to the UEFA Cup. But the team that went furthest in the UEFA Cup were given the plaque, which... It is a little bit kind of I tried hard sticker at school sports day.
Totally. You get knocked out of a competition and you immediately get a plaque for a competition you won another time.
But it's like, you're the best of the losers. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, of all of us, you represented us the best. It's like, no, I've moved on from you.
Maybe Luke can play for them.
Well, Aidan says, so simply put, we end the FA Cup now. We restart it as per usual next season. Of the remaining teams in this year's cup, the team that goes furthest in next year's competition wins this year's cup. If that's not enough to wet your whistle, then think of this. Any of the remaining teams could end up being the first double FA Cup winners. History is being made. Best wishes, Aidan.
You get the FA Cup and the FA plaque.
Damien Cunningham's brother.
Oh, blimey. I don't know what he's doing.
Should I not mention?
Yeah, best not. Best not.
We love you, really, Damien.
Please subscribe.
Show at footballrambleday.com to get in touch. And as Jim says, we love to hear from you. Jim, you've done a brilliant job of pouring through these emails so far. Well, so good on you, mate.
Yeah, appreciate that. Another one, of course, about you can message us on Patreon, on our Discord as well. Did anyone see that? There was a chap called Mike Clark who signed up to Patreon. As he put it, I heard my brother was chipping off on the Discord, and that cannot go unchallenged.
I love that. I will pay money on a monthly basis to stop my brother getting away with something.
Yeah, top work from the Clarks there. But we do very much appreciate that. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we move on to some non-virus related football news?
Yes, please.
I mean, I saw this headline on the BBC and I thought, yeah, the world is going into meltdown, blah, 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 blah. And this headline didn't surprise me. Arsenal resigned to losing striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang this summer.
Can we go back to the virus, please? Can you read out the dates of the Intertoto Cup, please?
I just love the fact, in among all this, that Arsenal are resigned to losing their best player. How has that news crept through? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's been creeping for a while, hasn't it? It's an easy story to tell at the moment, but I thought I was going to get a break from this at least.
Yeah, Jim, I don't know why, you know, people are at Arsenal, all working from home, of course, are having to field calls that get them to a stage where they're resigned to lose their best striker. Is this possible?
Is this just a case of assumed news? Sort of thing where if you're a journalist, you can put it out safe in the knowledge that nobody's going to rebuff it.
I don't know, Jim. Yeah. I think Luke's onto something. Everyone at Arsenal's at home and people are just phoning them up and go, any news? Well, we're resigned to losing Aubameyang, to be honest with you.
It's story on your list is that Arsenal might make a bid for Barcelona defender Samuel Umtiti. Why are they so busy?
Yeah, that's not happening, is it? There's no way Arsenal are going to get a bid in for him. Arsenal, they're also interested in Chris Smalling, apparently, if Roma don't sign him permanently. Smalling's a big player, quite well. Yeah, again, probably won't happen.
Still fine, though, isn't it?
It is. I love this, though, that Real Madrid, this was a headline, Real Madrid are considering releasing Gareth Bale this summer. Despite what's going on in the world, you can always rely on a Gareth Bale transfer saga. Bloody
it's
ridiculous.
Incredible.
I know.
But he doesn't want to go, does he? Like, this story is like it is the Gareth Bale saga in microcosm, because from what I read about this, Jonathan Barnett, his agent, was like, it's not just about the money for Gareth. His family are settled in Madrid and that. So it's like, he's digging in.
Yeah, it's like, you guys remember a few months ago when Jonathan Barnett was grabbed at some event. Some Sky Sports news guy kind of flash interviewed him, and he said, what's happened with Gareth? Because he was being linked with the move back to Spurs, wasn't he? And then Jonathan Barnett said, my answer to that question is, I'm an Arsenal fan. So, and it's like, what? Do you not remember that he played for Spurs for like 5 years? Where's that come from?
To be fair, though, he'd have funneled a lot of money out of Spurs for that, so... You know,
yeah, true. But it's like he was like, "Oh, I would never let that happen." Well, you have let that happen.
Mina Raiola did an interview on an Italian thing, a paper or something, and said, "Paul Pogba at the moment is committed to staying at Manchester United, but he may move in the future." I was like, "Well, everyone's committed to staying exactly where they are right now, you dick." And also, he said he's committed to staying at Manchester United right now. Well, obviously, I mean, there's no football being played, but he can't rule out a move in future. I mean, that's just, you just told us what will probably happen. And then
he's planting this seed now, so in the future he can look back and go, "Look, he was loyal then."
Yeah, he stayed the whole season. Well, he also said something along the lines of, and I'll have to say this because they're a bit sensitive in England. You know, Paul is training really hard and da 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 da. I was like, I don't think fans are being fans are being a little bit precious if they think £100 million player, whatever he was, is not putting a shift in and not giving a damn about their club. Just come on, Mean. We need more from you there, or less.
Something that should also always be reminded to people is that, because what we hear about is Paul Pogba and Mino Raiola. Well, we hear about it a lot anyway. It is always worth stating that Paul Pogba has played 2 games for Man United since the 30th of September.
Wow.
One of those was a 2-0 defeat to Watford, where he featured for 25 minutes. So let's not talk about Paul like he's at the forefront of footballing achievement at the moment.
I think those fans are being too touchy and too sensitive about it. Idiot.
Yeah, all we want is him to train. Well, that's out of order. You're being precious there.
Exactly. He's at the club at the moment. What more do you want? There we are. Well, let's go down to South America for one of the more kind of intriguing stories recently, specifically to Paraguay. Again, lots of you have seen this is the story that's been going on for the kind of the last week or two. But Ronaldinho is in prison in Paraguay. The story is that he and his brother allegedly used fake passports to get into Paraguay a few weeks ago.
And apparently you don't need a passport to travel between Brazil and Paraguay.
Why are you doing that then?
It's a very convoluted sort of backstory which no one's quite sure on. So it's probably best that we leave that because the situation.
It's not football in general.
Well, yeah, indeed. Yeah. I mean, stuff may come out that obviously is not particularly nice. And obviously, it's a sad situation. This is one of the greats of modern football in a prison and blah, blah, blah. However, to see Ronaldinho, despite where his circumstances, wherever he goes, he makes these other prisoners smile. They're absolutely loving him being there, and he's been impressing in futsal matches in prison, which is just, despite the circumstances, heartwarming.
My brain just went to this kind of place when I read this story, and it's that, because you see quite a few of those movies, like Mean Machine and Green Street. You know, where it's like football matches being played between the screws and the prisoners for various reasons. I mean, this almost certainly didn't happen, but I'd love it if the players had a game against the screws the next day and they're a bit short of quality and people are in great shape. And then a new prisoner came in and they thought, if he can just do 20 minutes, just keep value up front, we might be to make a difference. Walks in, Ronaldinho. And the screws are like, what are the chances of that?
Looking at the team sheets, there are no team sheets. Ronaldinho's
that probably won't be the real Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
I mean,
He does look like him.
Yeah. Ah, no, it won't be. That's little Ronnie. That's some other little Ronnie. Yeah. I actually...
Is it definitely him? Look at his face.
He scored 5 goals in 5 minutes. It's a maximum security prison. He's sharing a cell with his brother, which, according to Paraguay's Home Secretary, looks more like a hotel room than a prison cell. But they're in the same cell block.
That sounds a little bit like the equivalent of a little Englander saying, like, oh, prison's like a holiday camp, though, doesn't it? So, I mean, how seriously do we take that?
Well, the prison, the what would you call it? The sort of the prison manager or whatever the title is. The governor of this prison said that Ronaldinho and his brother do have certain privileges. So I think that Paraguay's Home Secretary probably has a point there, Jim.
It's one of the certain privileges they can do whatever they want.
No, I don't think it's that bad. But they're in the same cell block as former president of Paraguay Football Association, who was jailed for money laundering. So again, you would imagine there's a few more, sort of silk edges to that sort of place, if you see what I mean. But yeah, I mean, Ronaldinho, goodness knows what's going on. But like I said, I just love the fact that wherever he goes, people just love him and he's having a good time. I actually have played a game of futsal in a prison before. It was in Granada in southern Spain. And
what?
Yeah, I did.
Can we hear more about that?
I was on the bed.
What were you in for?
I was with a charity organization called Ambassadors in Sport, and we were going around playing various football matches and so on. And we played their drugs wing. I wanted a few of them to have a little drugs test, yeah, beforehand, because there was I thought these lads are very quick. But yeah, we played them. So we only got beat 6-3, which wasn't bad considering that most of us would have been from Britain, not that familiar with futsal, and those lads played it all day. That's all they did. So we got a bit of respect from them after that.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
It was a bit of respect from them. And what did you go up to the biggest dog in the yard and just smack him straight away, Marcus?
Well, I actually we played an 11-a-side game against them as well, and I did the footballing equivalent of that. There was a guy called Pedro who was about 6'4". He was a big boy, and I thought he was the main man. So I in the 11-a-side game, it was rolling subs, and I came off the bench, and Pedro and I went in for it was about a 55-45 in my favour, little nutmeg, and that was my first touch. So yeah, in a way.
So Marcus, you are telling me that you sound, I'm sorry mate, but you sound like that kid that, again, that lies at school that we spoke about the other day. Yeah, I once played football in a prison, and their hardest player was 6'4", and he was called Pedro, and I came off the bench and I nutmegged him with my first touch. Mm.
Did that happen, Marcus?
Dreams can come true. And and all of that I just told you is absolutely 100% correct. Surely I would have said, I scored 4 goals and we won the game and blah, blah, blah. I didn't score any goals. I gave my testimony to those boys from most of them were from Morocco, actually. They were kind of, they were in the prison because they would probably been caught up in some horrible business, you know, smuggling drugs into Spain. So a lot of them were from North Africa. Not all those.
I didn't think we'd be doing 5 or 6 minutes on prisons.
Did you
know? Neither did I.
All right, okay. No, well, maybe we'll do an extra, speller in prison. Speller behind bars. Yeah,
ramble behind bars.
Yeah, and Pedro, if you're out and you're listening, let us know. Did that happen?
Yeah.
And Pete, if you... mind you, we have actually got our own Pedro who might well be behind bars at the moment.
Yes. It's Pete Donaldson. That's how we met. He was 6'4" in those days, I tell you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let us move on to a new thing that we're calling Time Tunnel.
Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? So Time Tunnel is a brand new feature where I've selected a Ramble episode synopsis from the past at random. I did it earlier today. And we are then going to discuss what we remember about it, the football that happened around then, our kind of general memories. It's going to be super exciting. So the episode I selected at random this time around for Time Tunnel was the 22nd of January 2016. It was a Premier League preview show, and the synopsis is as follows. This week, the Ramblers wonder how Al Chapo would run things ahead of Arsenal v Chelsea. El Chapo, as in the Mexican drug dealer, before pondering how West Brom and Aston Villa's derby/war of attrition went. Elsewhere, Marcus disrespects West Ham ahead of their hosting of Man City and Sunderland and Bournemouth promise goals. There is also Jurassic Coast chat included.
My goodness. They were the good old days, weren't they?
It's a busy episode. Very busy.
Yeah, what do you remember of that time?
Well, I actually listened back to it. And a really depressing thing from my point of view is that Arsenal were top of the league at the time. We all know how that turned out. And we were talking about them. Chelsea were about to come to the Emirates. And Arsenal had had a, like I said, they were doing well. They were top of the league. And we were saying, if they can contain Diego Costa, you know, maybe they'll get something here. Lost 1-0. Diego Costa scored. It was a game where Per Mertesacker got sent off for a tackle on Diego Costa, in which he didn't actually touch him. It weirdly looked like he did, even after a few replays. But it was very, very weird. And Marcus was talking about the term spursing it up, and he said, well, could you just as easily say that Arsenal are guilty of Arsenaling it up? And I said, yes, but if Arsenal something up and Spurs something up, Arsenal finish higher. And oh, how times have changed.
Yeah. This is the season, of course, that Leicester won the Premier League, wasn't it?
And they're not mentioned in that synopsis, because obviously we were focusing elsewhere.
Well, that hadn't quite come to fruition at that point.
Well, I love the fact that we've chatted a bit about prison and so on and so forth, and here we are mentioning El Chapo. Yeah, I just watched the second series of Narcos Mexico. Had I've known what was going to happen,
I haven't watched it yet.
It's very good. Well, lucky you. I finished it about 2 weeks ago. Had I've known what was around the corner, I wouldn't have munched through it so quickly. But Chapo is featured in that. But yeah, he was. Mm. Yeah, why were we talking about him running things ahead of us?
There was a story that he was considering buying Chelsea. Had considered it in the past.
I mean, that is mad.
That's not happening. There's no way.
Jim, if you look back to the whole episode, was there any...
Chelsea don't let gangsters buy them, for crying out loud.
Jim, was there any Kevin Keegan chat?
Yeah, Keegan popped in there. Just the idea that... of El Chapo just popping up, buying a club that Keggy was involved in. Poor old Keggy. He got quite the pasting, as he regularly did and does, and will continue to.
My memory of Keegan around that time wasn't there a story around then of this could be way wider than Mark, but I'm fairly certain it isn't. This is fair warning to any new listeners of this show or newish listeners of this show. This is going to sound mental, but wasn't there a story around that time where a 40-year-old ice cream wrapper washed up on the beach with Kevin Keegan's face on it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. I don't know whether it was like a plastic lolly stick or a wrapper. I imagine it must have been a stick, but it had been in the sea for 40 years.
Imagine you walk on the beach, mind your own business, and that afro pops up. That little Kevin Keegan perm.
Yeah, just little Keggy popping out of the sea. Had a terrible time in there, 40 years.
Jim, at that point, that episode came out. Arsenal were top of the league at the time.
Oh, God. But still, you know, Leicester won the league that season, so it was brilliant. Other things that happened were Marcus waxing lyrical about John Joe Shelby. It was very, very enjoyable. And it was also the episode where Pete was talking about how he'd been in LA and a policeman with a gun came up to him and said, "Hey, no Geordies allowed." Obviously, he knew who Pete was, but Pete didn't immediately know that. So it was a big, big week. Big week for us.
Marcus, what you would have said to disrespect West Ham?
I can't remember what I said exactly. Was I talking about their record against Manchester City and how they always get
gubbed? You basically made a mistake. You said that you just slip of the tongue. You said that Man City had beaten West Ham at the Etihad when actually it was the other way around, and we just laid into you for disrespecting. Berlin, jelly deals, being salt of the earth, all that sort of stuff. And actually, I think I stand by it.
Yeah, I do as well. You're out of order.
You are out of order.
I think. All right. Well, listen. That was this week's time tunnel. Go back and listen to that episode if you like. I mean, let's be honest. There's absolutely nothing else to do. And it sounds like a vintage episode. We'll do another one of those anon when we decide that we fancy having a look back into the history books again.
Indeed. Where can people find these episodes, Luke?
The best place to go for really old ones is to go to Acast for those. I mean, iTunes and most podcast catchers go back a certain distance. And there's loads of that. I think Apple Podcast goes back 300 eps, right. But we do so many episodes that you might have to look up the Acast app or onto acast.com to find older ones than that. But it's worth doing because it's always a bit of fun.
Yeah, and that one was from the 22nd of January 2016.
Correct.
Lovely, lovely old job. I think we're gonna tweet the link of the episode, so do check out the ramble on the old twittles. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of our time. What we're gonna do? A few people have been asking us individually and collectively about football films to watch during this lockdown sort of period. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna watch the film Gull over the weekend, and we're going to review it on Monday. This will be music to Pete Donaldson's ears. He's back on Monday, we're led to believe. So we're going to watch the film Gull. It may well be on YouTube, the whole film, ladies and gentlemen. It's always worth checking out there, or I don't know if it's on maybe Netflix or Amazon or something like that.
Let's find a way to watch it, and then we'll talk about our thoughts on it on Monday.
Very much so, yeah. But I would imagine most of you have probably seen it over and over again and are very familiar. So there we are. But until Monday, thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you, mate.
And thank you, listeners.
This was a Stakhanov production.
I really miss your faces. That's something that I've come to realize.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Really?
Yeah.
You got some.
I've got a picture of both of you up on my desk.
That's maybe we should do that. Maybe we should make sort of dummies of ourselves, like that scene in Alan Partridge.
What I've done with Pete is I've put like the black bar across his eyes, like when you see an SAS photo.
Giving him the old Tony Blair eyes, have you?
Yeah, Demon Eyes.
That's the name of the Labour football team, apparently. Demon Eyes.
I played against them.
Did you?
Really?
You want to hear about
that? How did that happen? Yeah, absolutely.
So I played in the... Actually, I was with Pete Donaldson. We played in a Sunday league team for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And for one season, we were in the same division as the Labour... I think they were in power then, so it was a Labour Party football team. And a couple of cabinet members played. James Purnell played, and he's now, I think, doing something big important at the BBC. He was like a real terrier, like a real dog of a player.
Yeah.
He was actually quite annoying to play against. But then, as you guys both know, I'm quite annoying to play against as well. Mm. So I can't complain. There were one or two others as well. But I think we might have actually beaten them.
Oh, right.
But anyway, yeah, I can't. It was all made up of like proper, you know.
Was Alistair Darling the captain?
He wasn't there.
Captain Darling.
You know the kind of staffers, the special advisors that you see in the thick of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're all a bit like that.
Oh, terrifying. That's not a team you want to come up against.
I don't know, Jim.
We won. We didn't win many games in that team, so I think they must have been quite poor.
The beginning of the end.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was, of course, when football was being played, ladies and gentlemen. How we miss those days.